We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 28 through 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 32. The Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every night and day with tears." Verse 32. "And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for everything that you do for us. I ask that you please help me as I'll be teaching from your word. I ask that you give me of your guidance. I ask that your Holy Spirit can speak through me, that you give me the knowledge, the understanding, and that you help me to be able to convey the message that you've already put in my heart. I ask that you please speak to the people that are here. I know that we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different problems and different things going on in our personal lives, but I ask that you please remove that from our mind. I ask that you please remove that from our forefront, that we just focus on where we're at right now, and that you please speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, you do the work. You speak through me, and you please bring conviction to the hearts of the people here. In your name, amen. The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's coming towards the later end of his days as he's heading back to Jerusalem, heading back because he knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's going to be taken, and he can already foresee that, and so he's making his last rounds, you could say, through the churches. And he conveys this message right here, and I'm sure you probably have read it before, but he's talking to the church, and he's telling them, hey, you know, this is probably the last time that I'm going to be able to write to you, that I'm going to be able to be here personally and speak to you. This is probably the last time that you'll be able to come to me and ask me questions. And as my last message to you, what I want to tell you is something very important. And he tells them right here to take heed. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Watch out. You know, in Spanish, it says, look out for yourselves. Look out for yourselves. And we need to be able to do that nowadays. The message that applies, that applied during this time applies right now. And the Bible tells us, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Paul telling us, telling the leaders there at that church, telling the congregation, you know, I like to imagine and think of how it was or where they were at. They were probably in a house up in the roof, or they were probably, you know, meeting in secret, and he's talking to them and they're paying attention, and you know, they're listening with intensity, trying to see what is it that Paul is going to try to tell us. Like, man, I've heard that he might not come back, and let's come and let's hear his last message. And he's there and he's talking to them. And he's telling them, why did you take heed? The Bible tells us in verse 32, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The Bible tells us, Paul telling us right here, that there's going to come people. There are going to come people who come into the church. The Bible says, as grievous wolves. I don't know if you've ever seen a wolf before. I've been to the zoo, but I don't know if I've really seen a wolf. How many of you have seen a wolf in the wild? Okay, a lot of you, okay? Well, and when I was in Mexico, there was like dirt, and that's about it. No wolves. In Tennessee, there's like coyotes. And I mean, I have a dog, not a German Shepherd. My brother has a German Shepherd. I have a Golden Retriever, and my Golden Retriever is like the most... she is just very loving. You know, if a robber would come in, I think, you know, Miss Amy and Pastor Ken would know, if the robber would come into the house, she would just lay down and want pets. She wouldn't like try to protect us. She'd probably go with them if she had a treat, or if they had a treat. And so, it's nothing compared to dogs. You know, dogs, you can pet them. You can, you know, care for them. They'll lick you back. They want your attention. But it says it's not a dog, wolves. If you've ever seen a wolf, I doubt that you stuck your hand out and said, oh, come here, little boy, or come here, let me give you a treat. Wolves aren't gonna act like dogs. Wolves are dangerous. Wolves, they want to kill. They hunt in packs. What they do, you know, now, again, I don't know a lot about the wild, okay? So this is from the Discovery Channel. Take it up with them if they're lying, okay? But I've seen where they hunt in packs, and, you know, if one of them is by themselves, you know, they'll howl and try to get back with their pack. But when they come, you know, they attack together. And the Bible tells us right here, Paul telling the church, be careful, because it doesn't say nice wolves. It doesn't say, you know, maybe wolves that kind of are going to be okay with you. Grievous wolves are going to come in and entering among you, not sparing the flock. Right away it tells us they're not going to spare you. They're not going to ask you twice. They're not going to look at you and say, oh, I'll let this one go. No, they're not going to spare us. And they're going to come with a purpose. The Bible tells us, keep going. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So not only will wolves come into the church, but then also it says, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. Even in these days, there were already people standing up and people who were trying to infiltrate the church, infiltrate and trying to teach their own teachings. In 2 Peter, the Bible tells us, I believe it's chapter 2, Peter even is addressing this as well. He's seeing these same things. Paul addresses it not only here, but then he addresses it also in 1 Timothy. And he's telling Timothy to be careful and to teach the church what is right. And Paul telling this church once again, be careful. Because not only are wolves going to come, wolves that aren't going to care about you, who are going to destroy you, but among you shall people rise up, and they would try to teach things to draw away from who? Not from Paul, not from Timothy, not from the different leaders, but to draw them away from Christ. And we need to be careful with that. And Paul is telling them, be very careful. This is my last message to you. The last time I'll probably be able to write to you or be able to see you. And so what I'm trying to tell you is very important. And then he tells them in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Just to watch and remember. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. After telling them all this, Paul tells them, I command you, I give you to who? To God. But not just to God, to what else? The word of his grace. And my question to you today, this is something that I've been teaching the teenagers there at our church, is why should we read the Bible? Why should we read the Bible? I think a lot of us have grown up in church. If I ask you to raise your hand, which I'm not, and if I ask you how many of you have been in church for more than 10 years, a lot of you would probably raise your hand. I was saved at the age of 8, and I started going to church at the age of 8. And right now I'm 29. I know, I look young. I'll tell you my secret later, all right? 20 years, right? Yeah, going on 21 this year, I believe. And so 20 years I've been in the church. I grew up going to church since I was 8. Grew up in a Christian school. Memorized tons of verses. I could quote you many verses. But if I'm honest with you, even though I memorized all of that, there was still a dislike from reading my Bible when I was young, when I was a teenager. I would hear it all the time, and I've heard it many times, even up until now. I keep hearing it, and I'm glad that it's being preached. But we've heard it so many times, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And I think it's become a thing that has become a phrase that is just common and that is something that you're supposed to hear. And that's the problem. It just becomes something mundane, something common, something just that you always hear. And when we hear it, we just nod and say, yeah, and it just goes out, comes in one ear and goes out the other. But what the Apostle Paul is telling us right here is one of the biggest reasons why we should read our Bible. Because, as you know, you've been in church long enough, we are in a battlefield right now. And the battlefield isn't a battlefield necessarily where we're constantly having to duck all the time or be careful because they're going to shoot us with a gun. The battlefield is right here. And the battlefield is right here. And the battlefield is constantly going. You can see it in the schools. You can see it at your home with the programs that my kids are watching. You can see it with the way that the world is trying to make sin something normal to our teenagers through social media. You can see it in the way that people in your job talk. It is just a constant battlefield. And the thing is that we become accustomed to it. It's become something normal. And we accept it. And we don't fight back. And Paul is telling them, be careful. It says, take heed. Watch out. Because there are going to be people who are going to come and are going to try to persuade you, who are going to try to move you away from Christ. And that's their main goal. And that's what Satan has always done. But let me ask you this, why should you read your Bible? Why should we read our Bible? A lot of us, if I asked you right now, you would tell me. You can tell me better than maybe the points that I already have here. And you could probably do a better job in teaching this lesson, and I'm sure you've heard it many, many times, but we need to read our Bible because this isn't a game. This isn't something that, it's going to end next year. It's going to go on and on till the end of our days. If Jesus doesn't come back, it'll keep going when your kids are grown up, when my child is grown up. He'll be in the battlefield and I won't be able to fight anymore and be able to protect him, and I won't be able to guide him anymore, just like Paul here. And it's going to be up to him to be able to grab the tools, be able to grab onto the Lord, be able to grab onto the Word of God and fight the battle. And so we need to right now understand that we need to read the Bible. And why should we read the Bible? I have here point number one. Why should we read the Bible? Because it's God's love letter to us, to humanity.
That's right.
Now, how many of you are married? Men and women, I guess, right? All of you, right? Okay. I'm married too. I married Pastor Ken's daughter, Abby, and pray for me, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Now pray for her, actually. Pray for her. And so, me and Abby, of course I would forget. No, we got married in 2017. Oh, no. 2018. I know it's been 5 years. We literally just celebrated. I'm bad with math, okay? We just celebrated 5 years, but we were dating before that for 2 years, okay? So we've been dating for a while. But before we started dating, okay, there had to come a time where I had to present myself. And I had to say, hey, I'm the answer to all your problems. I'm right here. No, I didn't say that, okay? In fact, the first time I met her, I started a conversation, and I asked her out, and I didn't even tell her my name till she asked me, okay, well, what's your name? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. My name is so-and-so, right? My name is Jacob. And, I asked her out. It's a long story, and I don't want to take the time, all that time, to tell you that story. But once we started dating, The college, Howes Anderson, that's where we graduated from, they have a rule that's quote-unquote rule, not rule. But if you go out on a date, they ask the young ladies, and again, not necessarily that they ask, but it's kind of like an unwritten rule. That's what it is. That normally the ladies will write a letter to the person they go out with, to the guy, okay? And so I remember getting letters from Abby all the time, okay, once we started dating. And in those letters, you know, she would write, well, what do you think she would write? She would write something lovely, right? She would write something that was from her heart. She wouldn't write, oh my goodness, I hated the way you look. You know, she wouldn't ever write that. And I have some of the letters still at the house. And she would write just, you know, cute little things like, man, I enjoy spending time with you. And as the time, you know, grew more being with her, eventually she would start putting in that letter like more the words of like, I love you. Can't wait to see you. And when we got engaged, she ended up moving back home to try to save some money. And I was still at Hiles, and I would come and visit her sometimes. But I remember she would sometimes text me or sometimes write me letters. And when she would write me those letters, she would write me those letters. And when I would open them, they had a perfume that I liked that she used. She would spray the letter with that perfume. And one time, you know, I actually did the same. I sprayed a little bear, and I think she still has the bear, with my cologne, okay? Manly cologne, okay? And I sprayed it, and I sent it to her. And so when she would write those letters, you know, I remember opening them, and right away it was like a smell, a sweet smell. And right away I would think like, oh man, that's how she smells. And oh man, she smells so good. Man, she's so beautiful. And in that letter, she would say, man, I can't wait to be with you. Man, I can't. And she wouldn't say man. She would say, sir. No, I'm just kidding. She wouldn't say sir. She would say, babe, whatever, you know, you guys, I hope you guys have those little, cute, what do you call them? What is it? Nicknames, yeah, nicknames. Nicknames for your loved ones. You know, I call Abby Babe. That's just what I call her. One of our teens, apparently, she says that, you know, she was like, oh, man, that's so cute. We just took our teens to a youth rally, and Abby took some of the girls, and they were like, oh, that's so cool that they call each other Babe. I guess to me that was normal, but, you know, I guess it's not. But I call her Babe. When I'm mad, I call her Abby. Or when I'm really mad, Abigail. No, when she's mad, she'll call me, you know, Jacob or whatever. But we call each other babe, and we would call each other boo. We would call each other, I don't know, I mean, other names or whatever. And she would say, babe, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait till you come and you know, spend some time at our house here. And I would be like, man, I can't wait to go. And I remember I would be working, and I would put in my calendar, in 2 weeks, I'm going to get to see her. And I would count down the days. And finally, when I was able to drive over there, you know, I would be driving. Sometimes I'd be driving through the night. I'd get pulled over, but I wouldn't care. I'd keep going. And I get there, and man, it was awesome to be there with her. And I know she would feel the same, because in her letter, that's how it was. She would tell me how much she wished to be with me. In the Bible, we see so many times how God wants to be with us. How God desires to just be with us and for us to be in His presence. In this love letter that we see here, it is constant, Him seeking us out, but us rejecting Him. Constantly. He tells us so many times, to go with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He desires to have that relationship with us. If I were to ask you, you know, who goes to your house, it's normally people that you like. You're not going to invite some random person that maybe you dislike, or somebody who maybe you don't even know. You usually invite people that you like. If football, are you guys big football fans? Yeah? Okay. Michigan or what? Oh, you? I don't know. I'm not sure what's around here. But I'm from Tennessee. I'm a big UT fan. I love watching Tennessee football. And when I'm watching it, you know, I don't want an Alabama fan there. I don't want a Florida fan there. I want a UT fan with me so we can talk. And, you know, even though our team is horrible, at least I know that we like it and we're not going to, you know, fall away and go somewhere else. You know, we're going to stick to that team. And God, Jesus, they want to come in and he's knocking at the door and he says, hey, I'm here. I'm here for you. Hey, I want to eat with you. Hey, the same way that you would invite someone to spend time with, I want the same thing. I want to be with you. And he's shown it to us since Genesis, since he created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were walking with God in the garden, but it is man who decides to seek his own way of living. We see it in the way that he seeks out Noah in the middle of everything, in the middle of all the disaster that's going on. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us that, you know, Noah finds favor with God, and God speaks to Noah and he says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to do this with you. I want to be with you. And Noah obeys and he's doing what's right. But then unfortunately, we know that story that he sins. After everything that's happened, after seeing God's hand, he gives in to sin. We see it in the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 when he tells Abraham to leave that land to seek him and that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And Abraham obeys, but throughout that journey, we see that there are times, years spent where he doesn't even communicate with God. And it has to be God, the one to initiate once again that communication. Hey, I'm right here, Abraham. Hey, wake up. Hey, come back. We see it in the book of Exodus. When the children of Israel are there in captivity, and God's ear has never left. He's always looking out for them. We see it constantly, and I could keep going in different stories. But we can see it in our lives as well.
That's right.
I'm sure you can see it in your life. And I know I can see it in my life, how God has always sought us out. In my life, personally, that's how it happened. He seeked us out. He seeked my family out. And it was my cousin who came and witnessed to us and shared with us a different lifestyle, not just salvation in heaven, but a different lifestyle here on earth. And he showed us who God is. And man, you know, God sent him. And I know you can say the same in your lives. How you've seen God constantly, when you've let go of him, when you have just forgotten about him, he's always right there, seeking you out, because he loves you.
Amen.
Go with me to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, and this is the record. What is this? This right here. This is the record.
Amen.
And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. In this book, in this love letter, we see the record of his love. We can see it written here. How he has always loved us. Even before the foundations of the earth were created. He had already chosen us. And he shows us constantly his love. He demonstrates it to us. He demonstrates it throughout the entire Bible. But why is it that we still don't read the Bible? Why is it that we don't still read the Bible? You know, I was looking up, I found a statistic. And it's very disheartening, to be honest. But it says that in 2018, they did a survey, thank you, with 1,000 people, okay? Now, this is many religions, but it's still 1,000 Christians, right, who profess to love God, 1,000 people. Here in the United States, not abroad, not in Europe, Asia, or whatever, here in America, land of the free, right? We're very proud of living here. I'm very proud of being able to be here and being able to be part of this great country. And I'm sure you guys are like that as well. We're very patriotic as a country. But look at this statistic. 52% of people in the United States don't read the Bible. 52%. 8% use the Bible 3 to 4 times a year. 6% use it once a month. And 8% use it once a week. That's 74% right now that we've gone up to right so far. 13% use it several times per week. And only 13% read it daily. We're talking about a nation that was supposedly founded on Christian values. And we're very proud to be Americans. However, our true identity, which is Christ, our true, what you could say, where we belong is up in heaven with God. We don't read this book. We don't know this book. And I know my time is up, but let me ask you this. Why should you read your Bible? Why should you read your Bible? Number one, because it's God's love letter. And I'll just tell you real quick the title of point number two. Number two, because it's important for your discipleship. God calls us to be disciples, not just Christians. I think that word gets thrown around too much nowadays. Everybody's a Christian, but nobody's a true disciple. And number three, because it's a spiritual nourishment to our soul. Go without eating for a month or two and try to defend your family from a robber who comes into your house. You won't be able to. Go without eating for a week and you won't be able to work the next week. Or in fact, by the end of the week. Because we need this book to nourish us, to strengthen us. And so, you know, I hope that helps you guys today.